Well, I appreciate your prayers again this morning. I had a thought come to me earlier on, and the thought was misguided ideas. So that's what I want us to think about this morning, misguided ideas. I believe that the Lord made us with the capacity to understand the world around us, to be able to logically look at things. I don't think that you have to be saved to learn how to do schoolwork and do math and accomplish those kind of things. It's already made in us to do those things. But I believe that we were damaged in the fall of man, and that though we got the ability to understand, study, look into things, do that, I don't think we have the ability to guide ourselves spiritually. I don't think we have the capacity, as Sister Billie Jean's prayer was, I don't think we have the ability to lead ourselves. I think if we try, that we will think wrong. I think we'll be misguided. I think our humanity will misguide us in what we think's right and what we think, and we can add up a column of numbers, you know, 2 + 2 + 2 = 6, and we can add that up and we can learn how to do that, but I don't think we have the ability to lead ourselves spiritually, to look at the information out there and to be able to say this is what's best. We really need the Lord to help us when it comes to being able to walk through this life spiritually, to know what to do. I hope that we do that a lot naturally from the instructions that we've received over the years. We know that a soft answer turns away wrath. We know that it would be better off not to get in a fist fight in the middle of the road with the neighbor. I think we know those kind of things. We have some understandings of those things, but there's other places that we as humans really can get ourselves off by following our own inclinations, our own thoughts, the way that we see things. There's an old song that says, "I wanted sunshine, but the Lord sent a rain." I wanted comfort, but the Lord sent pain. I don't have the ability hardly to understand those, and neither would I put them in my equation. I wouldn't put them in my life when I choose that. The Scripture says that God's way is above our ways. His thoughts is above our thoughts. We can't think the way the Lord does, neither can we understand the way that it leads us, but we do have the Word of God, and I'm just amazed in Christendom now. I run onto it almost every day because I deal with a lot of people. And almost every day I run into the idea that there is a simple scriptural verse that if followed will answer the question. How often I look into the so-called Christianities, and the ideas is amazing to me of where they're going with this idea of taking not what the Bible says to direct our life, but the obvious way that we should think in 2023. We should be tolerant of certain things in 2000. Our society has taught us to be tolerant of certain things in 2023. And the only way to be a good witness and show the love of God is to be tolerant of these things now. I mean, I run into this all the time and things. And I always like to put the preference that we love everybody. Christ loves everybody. I'm saying genuine love. I'm not talking about this feel-good thing to where you're pampered. I'm talking about real love, which means that I care for you and who you are for eternity. I want the very best for you in this life. I don't want you to harm, suffer. I want you to have the best life here and life everlasting. That's love. And that's what I want for everybody. But it is not an acceptable thing to God that there's an alternative life Pastor, I'm sorry. The scripture is not teaching us that. We love everybody, but we can't accept the path of our own thinking, our own way. And you hear about it quite a bit, but this transgender movement that they're having, folks, for the most part, I'm not saying that there isn't some transgender dysphoria that people have. It is a disease. It is a problem. A brokenness in somebody. But I'm going to say this fad that's out there now, that it's popular. It's attention getting. It's a popular thing. It's like the, Lord help us, but it's like everybody used to run around with their pants leg rolled up. It's a fad. It's like there was maxi skirts, there's mini skirts, there's flare skirts, there's tight skirts, there's skirts with splits. They all run through fads. I'm telling you, this is a fact. The devil's in this, folks. It's a misguided idea that our world has that God did, that there's something God did in these people. God made male and female, and He done it right. We're coming up with these ideas, and now it's promoted more and more without any basis of it. They're promoting more and more, and young people are more and more confused and more and more confused. They've been set without parenting. Lord help us. We've been set without guidance. They've been set in front of monitors. They've been set in front of Hollywood. They've been set in front of their own ideas. They've been promoted and pumped and promoted this, that sure they don't know who they are. Of course they don't know who they are. But it's such a misjustice to take them down this road. I'm just saying this as a basis for my thought. That is so misguided. You and I are misguided without the Spirit of the Lord too. We may not go down the lines that would break the traditions of our life. But we are misguided. We will be misguided about our own, who we are, and about how what I am without the Spirit of the Lord that directs us, leads and guides us into truth. We will be that. If we don't take the Scriptures as a basis, we'll be misguided too. And there was a lot of, there's places in the Scriptures that I'm thinking about, the ones that, there was people it's not bad people. I'm not talking about the bad people being bad. I'm talking about being misguided. In Revelations 3, it's a common scripture, it says in the 3 and 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest," "because thou sayest," what are you going to say about yourself today? What position are you in? Could you say today that you don't have any needs? Are you without need? You don't have no needs? "To him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall." The said, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." How could you see something so much different? Think of the contrast. Here was the human mind, right? They got to a certain place in their life. Let's assume a little bit. I'm in a certain place in my life. My health is incredible. I can do anything physically that I want to do. I've got more than enough money in the bank. God blessed me. I started a business and God blessed my business and I got more than enough doing that. I'm rich. I've got health. I've got everything. I'm in need of nothing. I see myself as rich and I'm in the right place. I'm in the time of my life. I wouldn't change a thing about me. That's the attitude. How misguided was that? God looked down and said, "You see yourself in this picture. This is who you are. Describe yourself." Saint of God. God blessed me with this. He must be approving on me. God must be approving on me because I got everything that I need. Got everything. God's approved me. And God looks down and says, I want to show you my picture. You're clothed in fineness. You walk around with your shoulders out. I'm somebody in this world. We've got it going. And the Lord says, you want to see a different picture? Let me show you a picture of somebody that's naked, miserable, wretched. Inside you, you're proud and arrogant. How misguided can you be? You remember the scripture? There was a guy come to the Lord and said, Master, would you talk to my brother? He had a picture. He had a picture of rightness. He would not have went to the character of the Lord without considering himself in a righteous position. So he goes to the Lord knowing that the Lord's going to take his part. God would have to be on my side. I want to tell you, you better be on God's side. You be on God's side. Forget about trying to make God on your side. I'm going to do something to make God. No, be on God's side. He comes and says, Master, talk to my brother and tell him to share the inheritance with me. Do you know how misguided this guy's intentions were? Sounds legitimate to our human mind, don't it? Sounds fine to our human mind. He thinks he should have divided it. Let's get it divided. The Lord didn't even deal. You know, because the brother, I don't know what he would have said to the brother because the brother didn't come. He may have told the brother, you're doing wrong. But that's not the way the Lord works. You know, when we start looking around, it's not wise to compare yourself among yourselves. You know what? Our duties for one another is mercy. The duty for one another is that we're all in this together. Let's pray that we all make it. When you start looking around at somebody else's obligations and those kind of things, you're usually missing your own. The Lord looked at this man with clearness and said to him, instead of saying, go get your brother, he didn't even deal with his brother. He said to them, beware of covetousness. Where he was righteous about himself, he drew himself a picture. I'm righteous because I do things right. God looked through the haze and fog of his mind right down into his heart and knew that he was doing what he was doing because he was covetous in his life. So misguided about his intentions, about what he really had down in there. That's why we need the Lord to lead and guide us, because we won't see it of ourselves. So, Lord, help us that we follow the Lord. It's the Lord that we need for sure. Do you remember a couple of the disciples? I think their mother was involved. When you come into your kingdom, she says, so misguided. So misguided. Other churches, they got right in on it to it too. I think they put their mother up to it maybe. Or at least they was in it together. The mother says something, then as she's kind of out of the scene and the boys take off on it. Can we set one on, when you come into your kingdom, it's the way the kingdoms of the world are. You need somebody under you to take care of your duty. Can we set one on one side and one on the other? Do you know how misguided these people were about themselves? You know how much trouble they was about to cause? You know what the other disciples thought of that action? They were misguided too. It's so easy to be misguided. Why should I get bent out of shape because somebody else is sitting on the right hand of God? Lord, help me to be what I should be. Help me to sit where I'm supposed to be. And if John gets to sit on one side, or if Peter gets to sit on one side, or Andrew's on one side, Lord, choose them the best you can, but Lord, help me. Help me to do it. Help me to see myself as the needy creature that I am. Lord, I need you to lead and guide me. If I'm not supposed to be king, don't make me king. Lord, if I'm not supposed to be a leader, make me not be a leader. If I'm not supposed to do something, Lord, help me to be able to do it. Help me to be able to be led by you to do what I need to do. That's where I'm going to be fulfilled and happy at. Lord, help me to see it for myself. They was misguided about it. They had something inside their heart. And the Lord didn't go for any of these. You remember Mary and Martha? Do you know Martha was misguided? She wasn't a bad person. She had misguided ideas. She had the idea, it's true. It's true you need to eat. It's true that God blesses labor, blesses things. Martha had something wrong, though, because of the way the Lord dealt with her. Martha, Martha. Now, Martha, if you spend all your life worrying about Mary and every time she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, you're going to have trouble in your life and you're never going to have peace. Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about much. This isn't the only thing you're cumbered about. Martha had a picture of hers or she of herself or she wouldn't have went to Jesus. Martha was righteous in her own mind or she would not have approached Jesus to rebuke Mary. Do you know she didn't see herself right? Because the Lord said, Martha, Martha, you're showing yourself a picture. Let me draw a picture of you, for you. You're cumbered about much. Mary's sitting here peaceful and is going to be blessed. And you're going to be in such an upheaval, you're going to lose sleep tonight. You're going to be mad at her until you do that. You wouldn't say that you're mad at her, but you know that's kind of stuff. You say, Mary comes along and says, Martha, are you doing okay? Well, that'll last 2 or 3 days, and then sisters always get back together. You know how it is. But this is what the picture is, Martha. You're misguided about yourself. You don't see yourself the way you really are. We need the Lord to help lead and guide us. I think it's a good prayer to say, Lord, lead me. Lord, see me and know me. I want to look at another scripture, or a scripture in the 8th chapter of Luke. I want to kind of apply this together with this. Luke 18, 35th verse says, and it come to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? It kind of stuck with me this week, that question. What you want me to do for you? So, I'm going to ask you the question in a theoretical idea here. If the Lord was to come and say, I'm here to give to you, to minister to you, what do you want me to do? I ain't got a thing. I ain't got a thing. Lord, I'm just fine. Or this man was blind. What do you suppose the biggest issue in his life was? He was blind. It was obvious what the man was going to ask for. You never been blind, but I've had eye problems. I still can't hardly, without glasses, I can't hardly put fish line through a fish hook. Sometimes I'll tie it on there and cast it, and when I cast it, the whatever I supposedly tied on will go flinging across the river. Think I tied it on and I didn't because I can't see. So I understand something about the seeing, and it's a very important thing. Jesus asked him, what would you do? And he picked the obvious thing. Lord, I need to see. It's life. It's functioning. Of course, I need this thing. What would you what would you choose? I listen to the world and the Christendom and listen to all that and the desires that they have and the idea that they have about Christianity and about God. And I find out that for the most part, the Christianity is some rabbit foot or some way to gain something of this world or to get something, to be something. Messages and ministers have made it, so-called ministers to me have made fortunes, just fortunes in telling people that you can get rich off of the gospel. All you got to do is give your money and God will give you 100-fold back and convince poor people to send them their money and they jet set across in the world in jets and those kind of things off of telling people that they're going to do it. I'm going to tell you, it's misguided. It's misguided. God wants to take care. He feeds the sparrows. He takes care of us. But the plan of God wasn't that you can come and use the gospel to gain some prominence in this world. It's totally misguided. It comes up that we can have a relationship with God. Jesus died that we can get a relationship with God. So when the questions ask, what will you that I can do for you? What do you want me to do? What should the answer really be? You remember this story. It's over in, well, maybe I'll go ahead and get it. 2 Chronicles, the story of Solomon in 2 Chronicles, the first chapter, I think it is. Yeah. Seventh verse says, in that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Think of that question. You know, I guess there's an old stories out there, the old fables and stuff out there of you know, the magic lamp or what is it? You know, you get the lamp and the genie gives you three wishes or whatever that. Well, here's a real life story where God come to Solomon and said to him, ask what you will and I'll give it to you. Today, Jesus asked the blind man, ask what you will. What can I do for you? Solomon, what do you want? This is the way the story goes. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? Now that's not misguided. That's right down center. What can I do for you? Well, I'm hobbling around a little bit. Got a sore knee. Kind of getting old, Lord. Could you make me younger again? I'm kind of getting creaked. My hair is falling out. I'd kind of like to have more hair on my head. I mean, what can I do for you? Lord, I want to make heaven. Lord, I want a relationship with you. Do you remember what happened with David after the Bathsheba thing? And Bathsheba had a child and the Lord ended up coming to David and said to David for his transgression, you got an option. What do you want? The Lord, or David, said to God, you choose. Lord, you choose. I get too much wrong. You choose. You lead. You lead in this and choose the right thing. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom that I can know how to help other people give me something that I can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Lord, give me something to where my relationship with you grows more and more. Or how about, Lord, help me to see myself when I can't see. Lord, give me the eye salve for when I'm wretched and miserable and naked and poor. Lord, give me eye salve enough to be able to say it, to be able to see it. You know the story of Solomon. Solomon said, give me wisdom and knowledge to lead such a great people. I can't do it. I'm going to need your help in being able to do it. How can I lead these people and do it right? Almost none of the old kings had that vision that he had. But he asked for wisdom, and the Lord said, I'll give it to you. And because you didn't ask for the riches and all of that, I'm going to make you wealthier than all. I'm going to give you all the things that people would normally ask for. But he asked for wisdom and knowledge that he might be able to lead the people. That's not a misguided idea. That's a very guided one. Peter had a misguided idea. Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet, Peter. And Peter, in his humanity, Peter was not evil. I'm going to tell you, what Peter said, he said it to the love of God. He loved the Lord. He was honoring Christ and putting him up to a position when he said, you will never wash my feet. He was just misguided. Do you know we can have a good intent but be misguided? Paul thought he was doing the will of God when he was persecuting the church. He done it because of his admiration for the Lord. Peter, here in this scenario, said, you will never wash my feet. And the Lord said to Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. And Peter, being misguided as Peter was, said, wash me all over then. Peter, you're completely missing this all. You're misguided. All you need is guidance. You got the right heart. You need the guidance that the Lord wants to give us. You and I need guidance. We can work in this life and figure out how to go to Walmart and get something and put it together. We got intelligence. God made us intelligent, how enough to function in this world. We can put recipes together. We can build. We can do things. We can't lead ourselves spiritually. We need the Lord to help us build spiritually. We need the Lord to help us daily to know where to go, how to do it. We need the Lord to bring to remembrance the Scriptures. We need the Spirit of the Lord to help us to have the right discernment and understanding of Scriptures. We need the Lord to help us. We get that by being willing, a willingness for the Lord to lead us. Lord, lead us in this. I'm thinking of one more Scripture I want to get. I know we didn't have the time, but I want to look at a Scripture. Psalm 37, Psalm. Psalms 37, I hope that's where it's at. That's 30, was that it? Yes. Fourth verse, 37 and 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I have heard it so much that the Lord's going to give me the desires of my heart. I want that new car. Well, it's the desires of my heart. Do you know that if you're delighting in your Lord and you're saying, I need a car to work for the Lord. This is what the only reason I want that car at all is I got something to do for the Lord. You know, he might give it to you. I'm not saying that he wouldn't. But this is used again like some kind of a gain of this world. It isn't about the gain of this world. It says if you delight thyself in the Lord, that's what it's all about. Why does he give you the desires of your heart? You know what delighting in the Lord is? Lord, I want to see your kingdom grow. I want my neighbors to know you, Lord. Lord, I want God to be exalted in my life and others. When I'm delighting in the Lord, of course, it's what He wants to do, is give you the desires of your heart. I'll restate. We have the ability to function for the most part in this life. Most people do to some degree. We don't have the ability to lead ourselves spiritually. We don't know what we need. Many times we're in a place that we can't hear. We like to hear the still small voice. We ain't always in the place to hear no still small voice. And nobody's always there. Well, I'll say that loosely. I think we have to do things and we don't stay in that place all the time. And there's times that we have a genuine want to serve the Lord. It's not an evil heart. We want to do right, but we can be misguided. And the Lord knows exactly what to bring into our lives to wake us up, to guide us into the way that we should go. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.